Chapter 37 The Rebirth of the Soul. We would now like to consider the ninth book of Hermes, in which it is explained that none of what truly exists can be lost, and that with respect to what is essential, death is a chimera and can be assigned to the realm of fable. And let us first turn to the problem of the soul and the body and discuss the metabolic processes of the body, the circulation of atoms and forces. We will take as our basis the Hermetic axiom that fundamentally and in principle the soul is immortal, and that the state of the soul determines the nature and inherent disposition of the body, its metabolic rate, and all related phenomena. There is no death in the relationship between soul and body in the ideal cooperation between soul and body. Hermes says that death is a fiction. The concept of death and what is thought to be connected with it is an error. When reading this, we are inclined to rub our eyes in disbelief because such a Hermetic conclusion obviously contradicts the reality we know and experience and which we have observed around us so often. It also seems to contradict much of what we have read in the holy language and established in Gnostic philosophy. Don't we speak, for instance, of the nature of death and of dialectics, which means rising, shining, and fading? And don't we know the words, "The wages of sin is death"? So isn't death a well-known phenomenon in what happens around us? You will have to understand clearly what Hermes intends to say. He is not speaking to man in general, but to his son Tat, a seeker who has been initiated to a certain extent, who has discovered the essence, the truth of the soul, who has traced the miracle of the soul, and who understands the true meaning of life. When finally, full of astonishment, Tat tries at the end of Hermes' discourse to summarize his teacher's explanation in the question, "Is this living being then not subject to annihilation?" Hermes exclaims with great emphasis, "Rejoice, my son, and understand what God is." The ninth book is one of forceful argument against the idea of death, and it is rather difficult for Hermes to imagine that a serious seeker who has been introduced to Gnostic teachings can continue to approach the problem from the wrong side, from the outside. If you want to unveil this mystery for yourself, you will have to take the point of view of the soul and look at the various problems from there. Anyone who does so will understand the words of the Bible, "The soul that sins shall die." The soul that sins lives and acts against the fundamental divine laws. Such a soul causes a disturbance in the metabolic processes of the body and in its own sphere of action. Or, in the terminology of Hermetic philosophy, such a soul causes a disturbance in the process of dissolution, that is, in the process of transfiguration. Such a disturbance has nothing at all to do with death. It is only an incident which restores the continuation of the process of eternity. Anyone who wants to gain adequate understanding of this will have to come to terms with two totally incorrect conceptions of death, namely, the theological conception and that of historical materialism. The theological conception expounds, with various modulations, that the phenomenon usually called death is a change, and that the process of life will be continued in heaven or in the land on yonder side. This opinion is shared by countless groups with many variations on the same theme. Historical materialism states that death is the absolute end, the definite and complete discontinuance of human existence. If one is able to abandon these two attitudes, the truth of Gnostic philosophy will become clear. Hermes intended to say that death is the total discontinuance of the crystallized or diseased, wrongly living personality. What remains is a microcosm liberated from this personality, containing a flaming, living nucleus, the rose, the true soul. The incident in the process of dissolution, as a consequence of which the soul is freed again from its petrified garment, is, after all, a great blessing. It allows the soul to continue the course of eternity, provided it begins where the incident was caused. For this purpose, the emptied microcosm must seek revivification by means of a new personality and try, living on the basis of divine laws and forces, to enter transfiguration. This is a harmonious metabolic process without incident which takes place by itself, a change of the garment of the soul, continuing from power to power and from glory to glory. It is an ideally preceding dialectics of the seventh aspect of the mantle of the soul, while the soul itself, linked with its pimanda, exists autonomously in the sixth aspect of the divine manifestation. From a philosophical point of view, death is nonsense. Death, as Hermes rightly said, is annihilation, but nothing that exists in the world is annihilated. In the world, manifested by the four elements of air, earth, fire, and water, that which has assumed shape but cannot be used is again dissolved and returned to its origin, while the soul is freed from a highly undesirable crystallization. Therefore, there is no such thing as annihilation. There have always been those who had to contend with a troublesome or grievous life, and therefore said, "Let us lend the liberation of the soul a helping hand by committing suicide. If the petrified mantle around the soul proves to serve no useful purpose at all, let us put an end to it." This is a very serious misunderstanding, because a self-murderer cannot himself break down his crystallized personality. For, even if he destroys his physical body, the other three vehicles of the personality, the etheric, astral, and mental vehicles, will continue to exist until the vibration of the original image has entirely died away. The boundless distress of the self-murderer during this period is beyond any description. Moreover, we should understand that the one key to the life of liberation lies exactly in the birth of nature. If one does not seize liberation in this nature, if one does not force open the doors of the mysteries now, one will have to try again, as a microcosm, the next time. The way of liberation leads through birth in this nature to the birth of the soul. In the beginning, when the soul still existed in the world of the living soul, it was the spirit which expressed itself in the body via the soul. Now the way back must be walked. Nature-born man must again awaken the soul to life, must become its obedient servant and strive for the restoration of the binding with the spirit, with Pimanda, under the guidance of the soul. Anyone who does not go this way will have, as a microcosm, to begin again via the earthly birth process. May we just ask you, do you actually know what soul birth really means? Our literature talks about virtually nothing else, but its full import may still have eluded many of you. Who or what are we as nature-born beings? We are nothing but bodies. Or, in the terminology of Hermes, we are only animal beings. So the reality of birth of the true Rosicrucian cannot simply be applied to us without due consideration. The signature of the true Rosicrucian is expressed in the words, "Ex Deo nascimur." We are born of God. Are we, as beings of this world, also born of God? No, we are born of nature, of the earthly process of preservation, and consequently, we possess a body which cannot be compared in any respect with the body born of God. We, as nature-born beings of the present human race, possess nothing but an emergency order body, laden with the burden of sin, the karma of our parents, of our ancestors, and of ourselves. So, if the vital principle, the soul, serves the emergency order body, as is the case for the majority of present-day mankind, if the fire principle of our state of life devotes itself to the lower nature, it is obvious what will happen. The soul will bring about a new incident in the process of dissolution. For then man, or the soul, is trying to make insoluble what can and must be soluble. What does Hermes actually mean by the process of dissolution? He means an ideally operating metabolic process in which exhausted forces and substances are continually and harmoniously replaced by new ones. As a result, the mantle of the soul, which exists immortally in an everlasting radiant youth and is always subject to a process of transfiguration, proceeds from glory to glory. However, if the vital principle devotes itself to nature, it causes an incident in the process of dissolution. Then the metabolic process is disturbed and crystallization develops more quickly than the process of replacement. However, if the soul does not sin but begins to understand and serve the one aim of its existence, it receives the signature of the true Rosicrucian. Then it is born of God. It will then surround itself with a mantle, a vehicle which meets the requirements of the principle of harmonious dissolution, and that which is born of nature will be used by the soul as a servant in the house, as a basis. If someone does not have lodgings, he will be happy to receive a shack or a ruin to begin with. He will be able to change quite a lot in this dilapidated house and furnish it according to his taste. The nature-born body is likewise able to form a working basis for the soul, a servant in the house who will help the soul to realize higher possibilities by which ultimately the indissoluble will be annihilated. Then the soul of the one who has been born out of the divine nature will proceed to higher good. So once the soul has been born and has clothed itself with the first aspects of the new vehicle, one needs not be afraid of another submersion in dialectics when the time comes for the earthly body to die. If the new soul has begun to develop, one will proceed from strength to strength. In essence, soul rebirth means the reconstruction of the original vehicle of the soul, which results in victory over birth in this nature. So pupils of the young Gnosis should first devote themselves to the rebirth of the soul. However, the crowning of this rebirth must be brought about by the soul itself. After the rebirth of the soul comes a rebirth by the soul. We would like to discuss this in the following chapter.